Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So over the past couple of days, you've heard something about Krishna's qualities from the chapter of the Krishna book, Wonderful Krishna. And you've heard how Krishna and Balaram killed various demons, as in the story of Pralambasura. And today I'm choosing to read this chapter of the Krishna book, the Rasa Dance Introduction. And I've chosen it because it shows how Srila Prabhupada presents the most esoteric aspects of Krishna's pastimes in a way that is just suitable for the modern mentality here in the age of Kali. So, chapter 29 from Krishna book, the Rasa Dance Introduction. And Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that the Rasa Dance took place on the full moon night of the Sharat season. From the statements of the previous chapters, it appears that the festival of Govardhan Puja was performed just after the dark moon night of the month of Kartik, and thereafter the ceremony of Bhratra Dvitiya was performed. Then the wrath of Indra was exhibited in the shape of torrents of rain and hailstones, and Lord Krishna held up Govardhan Hill for 7 days until the 9th day of the moon. Thereafter, on the 10th day, the inhabitants of Vrindavan were talking amongst themselves about the wonderful activities of Krishna. And the next day, Ekadashi was observed by Nanda Maharaj. On the next day, Dvadashi, Nanda Maharaj went to take bath in the Ganges and was arrested by one of the men of Varuna. Then he was released by Lord Krishna. Then Nanda Maharaj, along with the cowherd men, was shown the spiritual sky. In this way, the full moon night of the Sharat season came to an end. The full moon night of Ashvina is called Sharat Purnima. It appears from the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna had to wait another year for such a moon before enjoying the Rasa dance with the gopis. At the age of 7 years, he lifted Govardhan Hill. Therefore, the Rasa dance took place during his 8th year. From the Vedic literature, it appears that when a theatrical actor dances among many dancing girls, the group dance is called a Rasa dance. When Krishna saw the full moon night of the Sharat season, decorated with various seasonal flowers, especially the Malika flowers, which are very fragrant, he remembered the gopis' prayers to goddess Katyayani, wherein they prayed for Krishna to be their husband. He thought that the full moon night of the Sharat season was just suitable for a nice dance. So their desire to have Krishna as their husband would then be fulfilled. The words used in this connection in Srimad Bhagavatam are Bhagavan Api. This means that although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus has no desire that needs to be fulfilled because he is always full with six opulences, he still wanted to enjoy the company of the gopis in the rasa dance. Bhagavan Api signifies that this dance is not like that, is not like the ordinary dancing of young boys and young girls. The specific words used in the Srimad Bhagavatam are Yoga Mayam Upashritaha, which means that this dancing with the gopis is on the platform of Yoga Maya, not Mahamaya. The dancing of young boys and girls within the material world is in the kingdom of Mahamaya, or the external energy. The rasa dance of Krishna with the gopis is on the platform of Yoga Maya. The difference between the platforms of Yoga Maya and Mahamaya is compared in the Chaitanya Charitamrita to the difference between gold and iron. From the viewpoint of metallurgy, gold and iron are both metals, but the quality is completely different. Similarly, although the rasa dance and Lord Krishna's association with the gopis appear like the ordinary mixing of young boys and girls, the quality is completely different. The difference is appreciated by great Vaishnavas because they can understand the difference between love of Krishna and lust. On the Mahamaya platform, dances take place on the basis of sense gratification. But when Krishna called the gopis by sounding his flute, they very hurriedly rushed towards the spot of the rasa dance with the transcendental desire to satisfy Krishna. The author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, has explained that lust means sense gratification, and love also means sense gratification, but for Krishna. In other words, when activities are enacted on the platform of personal sense gratification, they are called material activities. But when they are enacted for the satisfaction of Krishna, they are spiritual activities. On any platform of activities, the principle of sense gratification is there. But on the spiritual platform, sense gratification is for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, whereas on the material platform, it is for the performer. For example, on the material platform, when a servant serves a master, he is trying to satisfy not the senses of his master, but rather his own senses. The servant would not serve the master if the payment stopped. That means that the servant engages himself in the service of the master just to satisfy his own senses. On the spiritual platform, however, the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead serves Krishna without payment, and he continues his service in all conditions. That is the difference between Krishna consciousness and material consciousness. So, you know, if we want to progress to the higher levels of Krishna consciousness, we first have to come to the platform that Srila Prabhupada is describing here. Acting for the satisfaction of Krishna and Krishna's representative, the bona fide spiritual master, without any material motives. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining these things so that we don't get any misunderstanding about the dealings between Krishna and the gopis. Continuing, as mentioned above, it appears that Krishna enjoyed the rasa dance with the gopis when he was 8 years old. At that time, many of the gopis were married, because in India, especially in those days, girls were married at a very early age. There are even many instances of a girl's giving birth to a child at the age of 12. Under the circumstances, all the gopis who wanted to have Krishna as their husband were already married. At the same time, they continued to hope that Krishna would be their husband. Their attitude towards Krishna was that of paramour love. Therefore, the loving affairs of Krishna with the gopis are called parakiya ras. The attitude of a married man who desires another wife or a wife who desires another husband is called parakiya rasa. Actually, Krishna is the husband of everyone because he is the supreme enjoyer. The gopis wanted Krishna to be their husband, but factually, there was no possibility of his marrying all the gopis. But because they had that natural tendency to accept Krishna as their supreme husband, the relationship between the gopis and Krishna is called parakiya ras. This parakiya ras is ever existent in Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual sky, where there is no possibility of the inebriety which characterizes parakiya ras in the material world. In the material world, parakiya ras is abominable, whereas in the spiritual world, it is present in the super excellent relationship of Krishna and the gopis. There are many relationships with Krishna: master and servant, friend and friend, parent and son, and lover and beloved. Out of all these rasas, the parakiya rasa is considered to be the topmost. The material world is the perverted reflection of the spiritual world. It is just like the reflection of a tree on the bank of a reservoir of water. The topmost part of the tree is seen as the lowest part. Similarly, parakiya rasa, when pervertedly reflected in this material world, is most abominable. Therefore, when people imitate the rasa dance of Krishna with the gopis, they simply enjoy the perverted, abominable reflection of the transcendental parakiya rasa. There is no possibility of enjoying this transcendental parakiya rasa within the material world. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that one should not imitate this parakiya ras even in dream or imagination. Those who do so drink the most deadly poison. When Krishna, the supreme enjoyer, desired to enjoy the company of the gopis in that full moon night of the Sharat season, exactly at that very moment, the moon, the Lord of the stars, appeared in the sky, displaying its most beautiful features. The full moon night of the Sharat season is the most beautiful night in the year. In the Indian city of Agra, in Uttar Pradesh province, there's a great monument called the Taj Mahal, which is a tomb made of first-class marble stone. During the night of the full moon of the Sharat season, many foreigners go to see the beautiful reflections of the moon on the tomb. Thus, this full moon night is celebrated even today for its beauty. When the full moon rose in the east, it tinged everything with a reddish color. With the rising of the moon, the whole sky appeared smeared by red kumkum. When a husband, long separated from his wife, returns home, he decorates the face of his wife with red kumkum. This long-expected moonrise of the Sharat season was thus smearing the eastern sky. The appearance of the moon increased Krishna's desire to dance with the gopis. The forests were filled with fragrant flowers. The atmosphere was cooling and festive. When Lord Krishna began to blow his flute, the gopis all over Vrindavan became enchanted. Their attraction to the vibration of the flute increased 1,000 times due to the rising full moon, the red horizon, the calm and cool atmosphere, and the blossoming flowers. All the gopis were by nature very much attracted to Krishna's beauty, and when they heard the vibration of his flute, they became apparently lustful to satisfy the senses of Krishna. Immediately upon hearing the vibration of the flute, they all left their respective engagements and proceeded to the spot where Krishna was standing. While they ran very swiftly, their earrings swung back and forth. They all rushed toward the place known as Vamshivata. Some of them were engaged in milking cows, but they left their milking business half finished, and they immediately went to Krishna. One of them had just collected milk and put it in a milk pan on the stove to boil, but she did not care whether the milk overboiled and spilled. She immediately left to go see Krishna. Some of them were breastfeeding their small babies, and some were engaged in distributing food to the members of their families. But they left all such engagements and immediately rushed toward the spot where Krishna was playing his flute. Some were engaged in serving their husbands, and some were themselves engaged in eating. But caring neither to serve their husbands nor eat, they immediately left. Some of them wanted to decorate their faces with cosmetic ornaments and to dress themselves very nicely before going to Krishna. But unfortunately, they could not finish their cosmic decorations or put on their clothes in the right way because of their anxiety to meet Krishna immediately. Their faces were decorated hurriedly and were haphazardly finished. Some even put the lower part of their clothes on the upper part of their bodies and the upper part on the lower part. While all the gopis were hurriedly leaving their respective places, their husbands, brothers, and fathers were all struck with wonder to know where they were going. Being young girls, they were protected either by husbands, elder brothers, or fathers. All their guardians forbade them to go to Krishna, but they disregarded them. When a person becomes attracted by Krishna and is in full Krishna consciousness, he does not care for any worldly duties, even though very urgent. Krishna consciousness is so powerful that it gives everyone relief from all material activities. Srila Rupa Goswami has written a very nice verse wherein one gopi advises another, "My dear friend, if you desire to enjoy the company of material society, friendship, and love, then please do not go to see that smiling boy Govinda who is standing on the bank of the Yamuna and playing his flute, his lips brightened by the beams of the full moonlight." End quote. Srila Rupa Goswami indirectly instructs that one who has been captivated by the beautiful smiling face of Krishna has lost all attraction for material enjoyments. This is the test of advancement in Krishna consciousness. A person advancing in Krishna consciousness must lose interest in material activities and personal sense gratification. So this is the nature of Krishna consciousness, that the conception of God is personal. I recall that before I encountered the Krishna consciousness movement, I would hear about God, I would wonder about God, but I was not getting any real information about God. Then somehow or other, I received one of Srila Prabhupada's books, the Bhagavad Gita, at a Grateful Dead concert. And I took it home and I read it, and I mailed to the BBT to get more books, including the Krishna book. And my desire to know something personal about God was fulfilled, because here we see God as being presented with his personality, with his associates, with his activities, and they're very attractive. Of course, we're not on the level of Krishna's eternal associates, but somehow each of us has been attracted to Krishna consciousness, and we've joined the society of his devotees created by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, so that we can dedicate ourselves to the service of Krishna. So it may be, in some ways, a little reflection of the activities of the gopis here. We've given up, in many cases, ambitions for material careers and success, and taken up the service of Lord Krishna. Continuing, some of the gopis were factually detained from going to Krishna by their husbands and were locked up by force within their rooms. Being unable to go to Krishna, they began to meditate upon his transcendental form by closing their eyes. They already had the form of Krishna within their minds. They proved to be the greatest yogis. As is stated in Bhagavad Gita, a person who is constantly thinking of Krishna within his heart with faith and love is considered to be the topmost of all yogis. Actually, a yogi concentrates his mind on the form of Lord Vishnu. That is real yoga. Krishna is the original form of all Vishnu tattvas. The gopis who could not go to Krishna personally began to meditate on him as perfect yogis. So this is the real perfection of yoga being presented to us by Srila Prabhupada. Continuing, in the conditioned stage of the living entities, there are two kinds of results of fruitive activities. The conditioned living entity who is constantly engaged in sinful activities has suffering as his result, and he who is engaged in pious activities has material enjoyment as a result. In either case, material suffering or material enjoyment, the sufferer or enjoyer is conditioned by material nature. The gopis who assembled in the place where Krishna was appearing were from different groups. Most of the gopis were eternal companions of Krishna. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavita Bihi. In the spiritual world, the associates of Krishna, especially the gopis, are manifestations of the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. They are expansions of Srimati Radharani. But when Krishna exhibits his transcendental pastimes within the material world, in some of the universes, not only the eternal associates of Krishna come, but also those who are being promoted to that status from this material world. So some of the gopis who joined Krishna's pastimes within this material world were coming from the status of ordinary human beings. So in other places in his teaching, Srila Prabhupada relates, following Rupa Goswami, that for us, you know, who are trying to rise to the level of pure devotional service, if we do come to that stage, then we will take birth in a universe within the material world where Krishna is performing his pastimes, and we will join in those pastimes for some final training before going to Goloka Vrindavan and the spiritual world. So continuing here, speaking about these souls, if they had been bound by fruit of activities, if they had been bound by fruit of action, they were fully freed from the reactions of karma by constant meditation on Krishna. Their severely painful yearnings caused by their not being able to see Krishna freed them from all sinful reactions, and their ecstasy of transcendental love for Krishna in his absence ended all their reactions to material pious activities. The conditioned soul is subjected to birth and death, either by pious or sinful activities, but the gopis who began to meditate on Krishna transcended both positions and became purified and thus elevated to the status of the gopis already expanded by his pleasure potency. All the gopis who concentrated their minds on Krishna in the spirit of paramour love became fully purified of all the fruit of reactions of material nature, and some of them immediately gave up their material bodies developed under the three modes of material nature. So I'm kind of aware of my material body right now. My foot went to sleep, so I've moved it like this. Continuing, Maharaj Parikshit heard Shukadev Goswami explain the situation of the gopis who assembled with Krishna in the rasa dance. When he heard that some of the gopis, simply by concentrating on Krishna as their paramour, became freed from all contamination of material birth and death, he said, quote, "The gopis did not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They accepted him as a beautiful boy and considered him to be their paramour. So how was it possible for them to get freed from the material condition just by thinking of a paramour?" End quote. One should consider here that Krishna and ordinary living beings are qualitatively one. The ordinary living beings, being part and parcel of Krishna, are also Brahman. But Krishna is the supreme Parabrahman. The question is, if it is possible for a devotee to get free from the material contaminated state simply by thinking of Krishna, then why should this not be possible for others who are also thinking of someone? If one is thinking of a husband or son, or if anyone at all is thinking of another living entity, then, since all living entities are also Brahman, why are all those who thus think of others not freed from the contaminated stage of material nature? This is a very intelligent question, because there are always atheists imitating Krishna. In these days of Kali Yuga, there are many rascals who think themselves to be as good as Krishna and who cheat people into believing that thinking of them is as good as thinking of Lord Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj, apprehending the future dangerous condition of blind followers of demoniac imitators, therefore asked this question. And fortunately, it is recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam to warn innocent people that thinking of an ordinary man and thinking of Krishna are not the same. In other words, if the gopis didn't know that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead and they thought of him, then why can't I just think of my boyfriend or girlfriend and also become liberated? And we're getting the answer to that question here. Actually, even thinking of the demigods cannot compare with thinking of Krishna. It is warned in the Vaishnava Tantra that one who puts Vishnu, Narayan, or Krishna on the same level of the demigods is called a Pashandi, or rascal. On hearing this question from Maharaj Parikshit, Shukadeva Goswami replied, "My dear king, your question is already answered even before this incident." End quote. Because Parikshit Maharaj wanted to clear up the situation, his spiritual master answered him very intelligently. Quote, "Why are you again asking about the same subject matter that has already been explained to you? Why are you so forgetful?" End quote. A spiritual master is always in the superior position, so he has the right to chastise his disciple in this way. Shukadeva Goswami knew that Maharaj Parikshit asked the question not for his own understanding, but as a warning to the future innocent people who might think others to be equal to Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami then reminded Parikshit Maharaj about the salvation of Shishupal. Shishupal was always envious of Krishna, and because of his envy, Krishna killed him. But since Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shishupal gained salvation simply by seeing him. If an envious person can get salvation simply by concentrating his mind on Krishna, then what to speak of the gopis who are so dear to Krishna and always think of him in love? There must be some difference between the enemies and the friends. If Krishna's enemies could get freed from material contamination and become one with the Supreme, then certainly his dear friends like the gopis can achieve such freedom and much more. Besides that, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is called Hrishikesh. Shukadeva Goswami also said that Krishna is Hrishikesh, the super soul, whereas an ordinary man is a conditioned soul covered by the material body. Krishna and Krishna's body are the same because he is Hrishikesh. Any person making a distinction between Krishna and Krishna's body is fool number one. Krishna is Hrishikesh and Adhokshaja. These particular words have been used by Shukadeva Goswami in this instance. Hrishikesh is the Supersoul, and Adhokshaja is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, transcendental to the material nature. just to show favor to the ordinary living entities, out of his causeless mercy he appears as he is. Unfortunately, foolish people mistake him to be an ordinary person, and so they become eligible to go to hell. So, there's so much more here, but we've reached the end for our class time. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Krishna Book Ki Jai.